Welcome to a Monday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's show, I'll be looking at the Week 5 Fantasy Basketball schedule and our rankings for that Week 5. And to help me out with that, I'm joined today by JJ Calley, who you can find on Twitter at JJ Calley Jr. JJ, how's it going today?
Greetings, Mark. It is going swell. How are
awesome.
You?
Oh, very good. Always excited to talk about basketball. Before we get started, I have to check in on your Knicks. How are we feeling about the Knicks by now?
The same as I was feeling last time, which was blasé.
I feel like you should be more excited than last time, right?
I'm waiting for the bottom to drop. I'm trying to poke as many holes as possible into what they're doing, so that I'm not let down when they miss the playoffs.
You're such a pessimist.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
You gotta enjoy the uptimes when there's uptimes. You gotta enjoy Porzingis before he like does something bad to his body.
Oof, I don't know. I know we're playing well, but it's an even point differential, and we've played I think the Thunder without Durant and the Rockets without Dwight Howard. So I don't know. I was looking at it, and 4 of our 8 wins were against the bottom 6 teams in defensive efficiency. So, we've lost all like a bunch of playoff teams, like the 4 losses. So, maybe it's a schedule thing. Maybe we're getting lucky. But the defense is like we're mediocre, and when I'm looking at the numbers, so we're like 100 on defense, 100 on offense. We're talking.
But you've got Chris Paul, Porzingis.
We do.
Like the internet's new favorite person.
Yeah, so I don't want to get too attached just because everyone else has already reached like orgasmic levels with him. So I'm gonna hold back. But I definitely enjoyed. I know. But like you looked the game before, he scored 6 points and played like 20 minutes. So you got to take the good with the bad. Mm-hmm. So I'm even keel.
Okay. One of these times, one of these weeks, we're going to get you excited about the Knicks.
If we trade Calderon, you can dial me up right then and there, and we can do a
podcast.
Yeah.
The Calderon is gone special celebration.
Exactly.
All right. So again, I already mentioned this, but this show is to help you get ready for Week 5 rankings. I think this is like the week that you need this show. Listeners need this show more than ever because this is the Thanksgiving week. I think a lot of people are just going to ignore their lineups or set them and forget about them. And so if you want to do that intelligently, I'm hoping what JJ and I have put together is going to help you to be able to do that. So when you're eating turkey on Thanksgiving, you don't need to worry about what's going on with your fantasy lineup. Just to start off, there was some sort of big news over the weekend. Jonas Valanciunas, he got hurt. The injury is slipping my mind, but he's out for approximately 6 weeks.
He had a fractured thumb, I believe.
Fracture, yeah. And he's opted for not having surgery on it. All I know is, my note says he has a fracture in his left hand. I'm not sure which digit it is, but.
Yeah, Kobe took a swipe at him on Saturday's game or Friday's game and kind of knocked it out. And I think Valanciunas stayed in the game, but after the MRI after the game said fractured thumb. So he's going to we're looking at 6 weeks, and I looked it up. That's about 20 games missed, and that's if he takes the entire 6 weeks to rehab it.
Do you think the way that you said that makes me feel like you think that he could be back sooner?
Well, it's his non-shooting hand, so I think there's a chance that he might – I don't know. I feel like that's worst case, the timeline they're putting out. So I think there's always a chance that he can return before that.
Yeah, interestingly enough, in his absence, so the Raptors played a game on Sunday. Bismack Biyombo got 31 minutes. He grabbed 14 rebounds, had 6 points, didn't do a whole lot else. Patrick Patterson only got 14 minutes, which was mildly surprising to me. How do you think this thing plays out over the next 6 weeks as far as minutes on the Raptors?
I don't know if today was indicative of what's going to happen from here on out. And I think that Coach Casey wants to play the matchup game. Mm-hmm. And I was reading some articles today. I don't know if he's going to. I think Lucas Nogueira is possibly going to start in a couple of these games at center, just so that. I think Casey wants to keep the second unit intact, and that's kind of what he did when Damari Carroll went out. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be game by game, and he's going to decide. And even not game by game, it's going to be quarter by quarter to see who's going to get the most minutes. But even before the Valanciunas injury, I think Corey Joseph was playing the fifth most minutes on the team. And I think they're just going to run those smaller lineups with him in there anyway and kind of, I don't know, mix and match either Scola at center or Biombo at center when they can. So, but I'm not sure that Nogueira is going to have a huge impact. I think he can get maybe, you know, 7 minutes at the start of each half, and they'll go from there. But what do you think?
I'm slightly intrigued by Biombo, although we know that he's fairly limited. I think there's a chance just because they don't, I mean, unless they're going to go with Lucas, I just don't think they have another center on the team. Like, I think it sounds well and good to keep your second unit intact, but I feel like if they're playing a team, which, you know, they were on Sunday night, they were playing, or Sunday during the day, they were playing DeAndre Jordan. And so I feel like Biombo was sort of forced to play a lot of minutes there. I think Biombo's minutes are going to come up, and like, if somebody needs rebounds and probably blocks, he's going to be an interesting person to add. But I'm not getting overly excited about him because we have seen him play big minutes in the past, and he is quite limited in what he can do. Meaning he just does the blocks. He just does the rebounds and helps out in blocks a little bit. All right. That's all the major news that I had for the weekend. So let's jump right into the schedule for week five. Heading over to our friends at Hashtag Basketball. I really like their schedule grid they have here. So click on week five, and we see that two teams have two games next week. So the Chicago Bulls and Portland Trailblazers play only two games this week. And let me see. I want to pull up my rankings for those two teams, basically, so we can talk through that quickly, and then we'll move on to the rest of the teams. So so for Portland and Chicago, I didn't have anybody in my top 100 for my week five fantasy ranks. From these two teams. I think the last couple of weeks, John Wall has narrowly gotten in the top 100, but you know, that kind of just illustrates how unlikely, how unproductive a person is who has just the two games in a given week. Damian Lillard is the top player. He's ranked 104. Jimmy Butler is next at 133. And then it kind of gets ugly from there. JJ, if you, I know you said you don't play any weekly lock leagues, right?
That's accurate. Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess for you, cause I do play in a couple of weekly lock leagues, and I'm probably like, if I had Lillard, I would definitely play him. Butler is probably on the borderline, and I don't think I would play anyone else. Do you feel like that this matters much for your daily moves lineups?
In a micro sense, yeah, if you're just going to look at this one week, but there's only because of Thanksgiving on Thursday, there's only games on 6 days out of seven this week.
Right.
So I think in most cases, it's not going like, this isn't, there's no reason to drop any of the guys that you already have on your team. So we're talking long-term, no short-term.
You just kind of have to suffer through it, right?
Yeah, because every team is going to, once every couple of weeks, they're going to have two or so games. So it's just, you kind of go with the flow. And I think Lillard, I think you have it. He's third in minutes per game. So he's a good bet to possibly play this week. And Jimmy Butler is, I think he's fifth or sixth. Oh, no, he's playing 36 minutes a night. Well, I guess it just depends. But what I will say with Butler, I think Derrick Rose is coming back this week on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I was looking up the numbers. Butler, he's taking seven more shots per 100 possessions without Rose in the lineup, and his usage rate increases 7%. So if Rose is going to be back Tuesday, I think they play Tuesday and Let's see, Tuesday and Friday. So I would probably lean toward not playing Butler this week because I think Rose is going to come back.
Makes sense. I think, you know, if you're looking for a tiebreaker, and again, this is mostly just for those folks in weekly lock leagues. I think you bench all of your Portland players besides Lillard. You bench all of your Chicago players besides maybe Jimmy Butler. And, you're just going to be able to, there's just somebody else who's a much worse than, I don't know, Pau Gasol, but who's going to get four games that is going to mathematically accumulate more stats over the week that you've got to get in your lineup. So as long as you can find the roster spot to pick up that player, or you can bring him off your bench, you're definitely better off going that way than just hoping to get all the production from Pau Gasol's two games.
Yeah, and I just want to add on Lillard before we move on.
Yeah,
that, you know, his shooting has sort of, you know, dipped in the last few weeks, and there was an incident I think 2 weeks ago where his right thumbnail was ripped off. Yep. So he's using sort of like, they're trying to remedy it by using cream, and it's kind of making his thumb a little bit numb. I think since the incident, he's shooting 38% and 21% on three pointers. So it's something to keep an eye on, you know, not even this week, but moving forward, because I Googled how long it takes a thumbnail to regrow, and it said about 6 months. So I'm not sure if it was fully torn off or if it was partially torn off. So this could be a problem the entire year, or it could just be a couple week thing, and then hopefully it grows back and they don't have to use the cream on it anymore.
Do you feel strongly enough? Like that's really interesting. Like, do you think that that's important enough that you would consider trading him as a result of just that information?
If it's not one thing, it's another. And I think last year he had the sprained fingers, like his ring and middle finger were sprained, and they had to tape them together like from December on, and he shot a terrible percentage, and he's kind of dipping into the same low efficiency again this year because of the hand problems. But the assists are way up. He's kind of like the lead dog there in Portland anyway. I think if you were, because before the injury, he was 45% from downtown, and that was kind of not in line, but it was a little higher than his career averages. So I don't think that the shooting would scare me away, because I think if I was drafting Lillard at the beginning of the year, I think I would have counted on poor percentages, and he's living up to that now anyway. But I would be interested to see what you could get if you were to throw him on a trading block.
Yeah, definitely an interesting nugget there. You know, looking at the rest of the schedule, most teams, it's sort of split between 3 and 4 game teams. About half the remaining teams have 4, half the remaining teams have 3. And as you mentioned, there are no games on Thanksgiving. So Thursday, there are no games. So all the other games are jammed into, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday. As you looked over the schedule and looked at the rankings on the website a little bit, did you have any sort of observations you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, why not? Let's see. I noticed that the Hornets, they play 4 home games this week. They are 5-1 at home, and they score 11 more points per game at home, and they hand out 8 more assists at home. And Nick Batum scoring 21 points and shooting 49% in home games. So I think this is kind of the week where maybe you target someone like Jeremy Lin or Jeremy Lamb, because they're stacked with the home games and they've actually been playing really well. There's no team with more than 2 quality games. So you're either getting, there's an automatic play from every team once or twice this week. There's no outlier. There's no team that has 3 or 4 that you can for sure add someone from their team in a daily moves league and make sure you get them all 4 or 3 games. And
that's probably just a function of the Thanksgiving holiday, right?
Yeah, they had to cluster the games that way. So like, whereas last week there were 5 nights where there would be 7 or less games because they had to remove an entire night from the schedule, this week there's only it looks like 3 nights where there's 7 or less games. So they just bunched up a lot more. We talk about streaming a lot, or trying to mm-hmm. fill out the like win your matchup in the last couple of days. We're looking at the Nets, the Lakers, and the Raptors all play Saturday and Sunday back to backs. And I was thinking, like, sort of the one hot name that's out there now is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He had 5 steals today. He's averaging 2 steals per game over the last 10 games. He's their starting shooting guard now, so you might be able to target him end of the week for Saturday and Sunday to boost your steals. So look for the Nets, Lakers, and Raptors at the end of the week.
Yeah, that's good information. I was trying to think if so Hollis Jefferson is starting, right? And I'm trying to look up how many minutes per game is he playing.
23 over the last 10 games.
And has that bumped up in the last couple of games? Because you would think if he's starting, he would be getting a little bit.
Yeah, like he didn't start starting 10 games ago, but over the last 10, he's averaging 2 steals. I think it was four or five. Like whenever Wayne Ellington dropped out of the rotation is when they started going with him.
He's primarily like you're picking up primarily 4 steals, which he's over the last 5 games, he's averaged 2.5 steals and 7 rebounds.
Yeah, the kid, he can't make a layup. Like if it's if it's contested, he's going to doink it off the backboard. And so even though I think he's shooting above 45%, most of his shots are coming at the rim, and he's doing very little with that. So you're banking on maybe 4 or 5 steals at the end of the week, and if you throw him in there, and plus Saturday they play Cleveland, so you might have to go up against LeBron, or maybe Joe Johnson might actually handle that. So maybe they'll switch on and off, so that could lead him somewhere between 25 and 30 minutes.
No, that's pretty useful to know. Like if you needed steals at the end of this week, you could pick up. I'm guessing he's available in almost every league. You can pick him up and get 2 games, maybe get, if you're lucky, get 5 steals or something and help your team win that way. That's a good tip.
Yeah. And we talked about the Raptors before. They're the other team that plays 2 games. I guess it's just going to be a grab bag because the Raptors only play 1 game from now until Saturday. So they play Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I don't know what Dwayne Casey's going to do. So I guess, choose your own risk. I don't know, whichever Raptor you want to go with for those 2 days, and just see how it pans out.
And JJ, I want to take a look at the injured players or the players dealing with injury who may or may not come back next week and talk about what we expect fantasy wise from them. But first, I have an exciting announcement for our podcast. We have a new sponsor. So, very excited.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
I didn't know that. I was not aware of this development.
Yeah, excited to welcome BetDSI as a sponsor of the podcast. Let me tell you a little bit about BetDSI. They are an online sports book and other services, but for our purposes, they're an online sports book. They focus on primarily on their customers, and most importantly on the ease and speed of payments, which is the most important thing, I think, to customers. BetDSI is also one of the most respected online sports books. They currently have an A+ rating for a sports book review. So the other cool thing, BetDSI offers several different sports. So major U.S. sports like NBA, NFL sports book, but also international sports like rugby, soccer, and I think I saw surfing on there. So if you've had a hankering to wager on some surfing, JJ, this is the right place.
I know where to go now.
Yeah, you even know where to go. They even do politics, so you can bet on the Republican or Democratic nominations. I took a look at the lines for Monday night. Just, I knew you were coming on the podcast. The Knicks they're going against Miami. They're in Miami. They currently have a 5-point cushion. What do you think about that? So Miami is -5 in that game, meaning the Knicks need to win or lose by 5 points or less to win tomorrow night. Which side do you think you would fill on? I feel like you know you're like the most rational Knicks fan I know.
I would take Miami plus, was it 5.5 or 5?
It's 5, so I guess, 4 or less.
Okay. Assuming Whiteside doesn't get into early foul trouble, I'm going to go with the Heat in that one.
Do you have any particular reason, or is that just a gut feel?
The Heat are a top five defense right now. And
that's right. And you gave us that cool stat earlier about how the Knicks are only beating the poor defensive teams.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it. Well, I guess. Yeah. I don't believe in them yet. I think that's what I'm saying. So I'm a non-believer right now until I see it. But Fisher, he's pulling the right buttons. He's playing Lou Amundsen and Lance Thomas a lot, and that's helping them win marginally.
I feel like the right buttons, but if it's helping, I guess. Let me give you one other one that intrigued me now based off what you said earlier about the schedule. Charlotte is a 5-point favorite versus the Sacramento Kings. They're obviously playing at home. After you read me all those stats about how good Charlotte does at home, that makes that kind of an intriguing line to me as well.
Yeah, I'm not guaranteeing a 4-0 week at all. Sure. But so you're saying that they're 5-point favorites this week?
Charlotte, Sacramento. Charlotte is a 5-point favorite, meaning they have to win by 6 points or more.
Is Cody Zeller going to play in this game? Do we know?
Would that swing the bet for you?
Possibly. I think.
I don't think that's been decided. I also don't think that was factored in.
Okay. I'll tentatively go with the stats and go with Charlotte. I don't know how many they're winning by at home, but a win's a win. And hopefully they'll do it by more than five. Because I think they're still reintegrating Darren Collison. They've used Ben McLemore a lot now. He's kind of finding his touch. I think, I'll go with Charlotte on that one. What about you? You have any inkling one way or another?
I think you've convinced me, man. I'd go with you on both of those. No, I probably would have said New York before because I feel like they're hot, but I think your rational view on them is probably the right one. And Miami's defense, I'd probably go that way, even though you're giving up 5 points. And I feel the same way about Charlotte. Reading those or hearing how well they've done at home and sort of what a mess Charlotte is, I feel like 5 points is probably not enough for me to be persuaded to take Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you the best part about BetDSI, JJ, that just by listening to this podcast, you get a bonus $10 just if you sign up using the promo code HOOPS10. So that's HOOPS and then the number 10, no space. You sign up with that promo code and you get $10 deposited in your account. You can go spend it on those tips that JJ gave you. And lastly, BetDSI and I just want to remind everybody that gambling is a form of entertainment and should be done responsibly. BetDSI goes so far to help you gamble responsibly that they provide an easy way to track your activity and results. And if you feel you have a gambling problem, please contact Responsible Gambling for assistance. All right, let's get back to those injured players, JJ. Now, first guy I want to talk about, there's been some buzz that he might return this week, Tyreke Evans. What do you expect from him this week, if anything?
Not much.
Okay.
Like,
we don't need to say any more than that.
Well, no, because it's not even – he said, I think, for sure he's going to return this week, but the Pelicans have three games, and the second – they play back-to-back, right? And so we don't know – if he's going to be restricted, I think he's going to be restricted. He's going to be on a minute.
There was a restriction, yeah.
Right. We don't know if he's going to play back to backs. And Gentry said it's not going to be 10 to 15 minutes a night. So that means we can expect like 20 to 25 minutes a night. Because he just had surgery in October and he beat the timeline. So the original timeline was 6 to 8 weeks. He's coming back in 5 weeks if he returns this week. So
I'm slightly worried that he's doing it because the team is doing so poorly. That always makes me nervous.
But Ish Smith is doing so well. Why even bother coming back? That's my question.
I think he's coming back because they're what, 3-12?
I know they won tonight.
Like if they wait another 2 weeks, they might be eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, there's 3-11.
So, you know, Ish Smith has played great. And selfishly, I don't want him to come back because Ish Smith has been so good. But I own him in a couple of places. All right. Yeah, I agree. I don't think you're playing Tyreek. Like in a weekly lock league, I don't think you're playing him. I don't think you're even in a daily moves league. I don't think you're getting him off your IRR spot yet. Even if he, I'd keep him there as long as you can, because I think the reintegration process is not going to be immediate. So do you feel like that's cheating if I keep Tyreek Evans on my IR, even though he's playing a few minutes here and there?
This is something I've thought about in practice. I think if no one's going to call you out on it, you can leave them there. But there has to be a cutoff time where you're sort of because you won't be allowed to make any moves
right
on your team. So you're kind of, that's the penalty for leaving someone on your team on the IR spot who's not injured.
Yeah, that's why I don't have any problems with it.
Yeah, so I don't go through everyone's team in my league to make sure they're playing by some sort of rules that don't exist in the league by keeping someone there. If that's what they're going to do, then I guess so be it.
All right, let me ask you about another guy on the injured list, or who had sat out a couple of games, LaMarcus Aldridge. He sprained his ankle. I think he's missed two games. The Spurs have four games next week. He's ranked 38th in my week five rankings. What do you expect from Arl Aldridge this week? Do you think he'll get those four games in, or do you have a different take on it?
He's listed as questionable for Monday's game. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to get three games maximum from him this week.
Are you worried that it could be worse? Like, do you have any reason, I guess I should say, to be worried that it could be one or two games from him, or are you feeling pretty confident about that three? I kind of think three is the right number to rely on.
I don't have a reason to think that he would, that it's like a Kent Bazemore kind of hush-hush kind of deal, because they have no timeline for him, but the Spurs have come out and said that Aldridge, you know, he's questionable. What that means, that leaves the possibility that he could play on Monday. Right. And then let's say he gets two more days off, and then he should be hopefully be ready to go by Wednesday for that game. So I think three games is what would be the not the best case, but I think that would be what you would consider a break even this week, or sort of the over under.
Nice. I don't know if that's on BetDSI or not. We'll have to check that out later. George Hill. Now, this is kind of a weird situation. So for the Pacers' last game, he dressed, but the coach said he hoped that he wouldn't have to play him, which made it seem like he wasn't well enough to play, but they wanted to leave the option open just in case they really needed him, which seems like a strange thing to do in November. And if I recall, I don't think they actually used him in the game.
No, he's been battling a chest infection, and so he had a whole week off, and he's still working on his conditioning. So that's why, you know, there was a chance he could play and then improve, like just to get some cardio in during the game, but they didn't need to use him because it was a blowout against the Bucks. So I would consider him probable for Tuesday's game against the Wizards, just because he's returning and trying to get in basketball shape.
Now, Rudy Gay, he left a game recently on Thursday night with a left shoulder strain. He didn't play in their next game. I believe it was against the Magic. Do you have any thoughts on Rudy Gay this week?
He's
have four games.
I know he's day-to-day, but I'm assuming kind of the same with Aldridge. Well, not if he's day-to-day, then I think there's a better chance he plays because their first game is Monday. But I would pencil in for three games this week would be my guess, just to play it safe.
Nice. I agree. The next guy on my list, I put on my list because I thought he had a good chance to return sometime this week. And then we heard rumors that he might be out 2 to 4 more weeks, and that's Marcus Smart. He's dealing with a leg injury. We know he didn't travel with the team, so he will miss at least – the game was on Sunday, and then he misses the game on Tuesday at Atlanta. I guess he could theoretically return for Wednesday night against Philadelphia, but it's certainly not sounding that way.
We're talking about Marcus Smart?
Yep, Marcus Smart.
Yeah, he's been they've called him out for the next 2 weeks. So we're looking at 7 games minimum.
And they said maybe like, 4 weeks, right?
Two weeks and with the potential of more, but I don't know about a whole month.
Definitely get him out of the lineups, and probably if you don't have an IRR spot, he's probably worth dropping.
I concur.
Yep. Next guy on my list, Derrick Rose. He sprained his ankle. He's missed a couple, two or three games for the Bulls thus far. Do you have any thoughts on his prospects for this week, where they've only got 2 games? I think like in a weekly lock league, you're definitely leaving him out. But what about in a daily moves league? What are you thinking you're going to get from him?
I know he practiced before the Warriors game, but we're also,
he went through another full practice on Sunday.
Okay. And he's got the blurry vision. The target for him is to play the first game on Tuesday. So I think he's going to play both games this week, both road games. I don't think he'll be tentative because of the ankle thing, but it's still only 2 games. So that's why you don't want to play him in a weekly lock league.
Yeah. Now, Kevin Durant, he missed another game on Sunday night. That was his 6th straight game he missed with the hamstring injury. But it appears that he is getting very close to returning either Monday night versus the Jazz or Wednesday night versus the Nets. At least that's what the Oklahoman, Anthony Slater at the Oklahoman, is reporting. I sort of got burned putting him in one of my lineups this week and hoping for 2 games. It was a deeper league, so it wasn't like I even had 1 game of Kevin Durant would have been so much more valuable than anybody else on my bench that it was worth taking the risk. But what do you think this week? Do you think do you have any sense of if he's coming back, or do you think it'll be Monday or Wednesday? Do you think that feels right to you? Like,
I I'm in the dark on this one. I think Wednesday would probably be a better target for him, and that would mean 2 games this week. Cause you don't like he, if someone's returning from injury, you don't want to throw them into the fire. And that's kind of what he's going to get when he plays the Jazz. And even though the Nets have been playing well recently,
still the Nets.
All right. I think you can ease him back in because the hamstring injury, I think that's what he's dealing with. You don't want that. You don't want him to come back and then for it to flare up again. And he's been out, what is it, like 10 or 11 days at this point?
It's been 6 games.
Okay. So you give him another 2 more days, and then that kind of limits him to 2 games this week, which is, I guess, all conjecture on my part and how I would deal with it. But if the doctors clear him, then there's no reason not to play him on Monday. So I guess we'll find out tomorrow before tip, and then you can make your decision from there.
Yeah, that's the good thing is we have a Monday game. You'll know whether he's coming back or not. And I think it's very likely that he'd be limited to 25 or 28 minutes or something. But it's still Kevin Durant. Like, if he's going to play 3 games, you have to play him.
I think,
in my opinion, like, he's just so good. Your bench guy, like your 11th best player, is not going to be better than him. Another injury we saw happen on Saturday night was Zach Randolph. He went out with a knee injury, he did not play on Saturday night with a knee injury. Basically said his knee was too sore. The Grizzlies have 4 games. I guess if you go with our rule of he hasn't been ruled out, so expect 3 of the 4 games or something, that's probably still good enough for Zach Randolph. Although if you want to put him on your bench, I'm okay with that too. Do you have any thoughts on Zach Randolph's injury?
No, I kind of, same with the Kevin Durant one. I tried to look for news today on it. I was stonewalled. So, I guess wait for news tomorrow, but he's missed 2 games, the back to back on the weekend. So you would think that if it's just soreness, that it's going to either, it's not going to be there at the start of the game through warmups, or it's going to kind of linger and we'll go from there. But yeah. I think I'm looking at the schedule now. They play, two game. Okay, so they play a back to back. They play a back to back at the beginning of the week, and they play on Tuesday to start. So maybe not as cut and dry as I thought it was.
I think you're probably, given the amount of information we have, I would expect three games from him, and you'll sort of know what to do from there. Mm-hmm. A couple other piece of injury news, and then we'll kind of move on here. Kyrie Irving has progressed to 5-on-0 workouts and 1-on-1 work. Chris Hayes reports on Twitter. He still doesn't have a timeline for return, but it does seem like he's making some progress. You're not sticking in like an, you're not expecting him to play this week though, are you? Like if you got him on your IR somewhere?
No, I wouldn't. But if he were to surprise us, I would think Saturday against the Nets. I think that would be the one that you just pile on. And like, because that was always the thing last year with the Sixers, because I would watch them and, you know, anytime someone would return from injury, it would be against the Sixers. They play 25 minutes and throw up the amount of stats they would on a normal night. So you want to, teams are, they want to pick and choose when they bring a star, a player back from injury. And I think if he's going to like come out of nowhere and say he's ready, but I don't think he's going to play this week anyway.
Now if you had Kyrie Irving, would you, is he somebody you would like, say you had him and it's announced that he is playing that Brooklyn game, are you yanking him right off IR and putting him in your lineup as soon as possible, or are you waiting to see what he gives you and try to keep him on IR until he's back at full health?
Well, that night there's only 7 games, so I would look at my matchup and see how I'm doing to see if I needed him to play on that night. Because I think I could probably get him in there. And then I would also, I would think that he's going to be limited from the jump. And at the start of the season, I was thinking, you know, maybe 30 to 32 minutes a night is what he would play coming back from that injury. And he's still taking a while to rehab it. So by the end of the season, I'm thinking, you know, maybe he tops out at 30 minutes a night anyway. So if he's going to start this first game, I would think 20 minutes would be appropriate. And I don't know that Mo Williams being healthy for that depends, because they have enough depth. But I think I would probably leave him on the bench unless I needed a prayer in my matchup. And then I would throw him out there.
Yeah, that's great advice, I think. The last piece of news that we got is about Dwight Howard. They're not scheduled for any back-to-backs this week, but their new coach, Bickerstaff there in Houston, said that he's scheduled to be evaluated this week, and they hope to clear him to play back-to-backs in the future. So if you've been dealing with the pain of having to worry about which back-to-back game Dwight Howard is going to play or not play, I think he sat out like a total of 4 games so far this season. It seems like they're progressing to the fact where, or to the point where he may not have to sit out those back-to-backs any longer, which would be one less headache you'd have to worry about in your fantasy lineup. So definitely some good news there if you've held on to Dwight Howard this long. JJ, is there anybody else injury-wise you think we need to make sure to mention to the listeners here?
Oh, geez. I
think that was our whole list. I'm not expecting to have anybody else. I just want to make sure we're not missing anybody obvious.
I probably should have done a better job of this.
You did an excellent job.
I know that not injury news, but I know Kevin Martin's going to be starting for the Timberwolves tomorrow night. And Sam Mitchell came out and said that, you know, he wanted to start the old guys or give them minutes at the beginning of the season so that the team could, I don't know, learn how to win or whatever. But it looks like Shabazz Muhammad is going to take Prince's minutes when Martin goes into the starting lineup. So I guess he's someone to look at now because he's going to get 20 minutes a night, but he's more of a scorer rebounder than anything else. So
was that just a subtle way for Coach Mitchell to say Tayshaun Prince isn't playing anymore?
Yeah, he came out and said he's probably going to get 10 minutes a night, if that. So it's time to, I guess now we need to worry, I guess if you're a Timberwolves fan, you know, you get to see the young guys, but also you have to worry about where the defense goes from here, replacing Martin with Prince. So I think Kevin Garnett's still going to stay in the starting lineup regardless. So, oh, and your boy, Nemanja Bjelica, did not practice on Sunday. So I don't know if he's going to play on Monday.
Please drop him. And drop Gorgie Jang while you're at it, folks. I don't know why that guy has such a following, but I get Twitter questions about him more than anybody else. And it's everybody wonders when Coach Mitchell is going to finally give Gorgie Jang enough minutes to be fantasy relevant. And it's just not going to happen. There's been numerous scenarios where if Jang was going to get big minutes, he could have. Like Bleacher was out, and I think Garnett was out one night, and they still only gave Jang like 20 to 22 minutes. So it's just not going to happen.
It's simple as Jang is only the primary backup center, and Karl mm-hmm. Anthony Towns is so good that there's no need to play Jang more than 18 minutes a night at center, and he's not getting minutes at power forward, so there's no reason to hold on to him right now.
No, let it go, folks. I know it sucks to draft somebody and have them not play, but you might as well not make the situation twice as bad by holding on to the guy and being angry and sending Twitter comments to fantasy analysts begging them to tell you that Scott Mitchell is going to change his rotation. It's just not going to happen.
You said Scott Mitchell, like the quarterback, quarterback for the Rams, that guy, or was it the Lions?
Lions, yeah. Might as well be him. No, excuse me, Sam Mitchell, Coach Sam Mitchell. Last thing I want to do on the podcast before we sign off is I want to give everybody some streamers and maybe some folks to bench. But before we do that, I have a little note from our friends over at No Halftime. JJ, have you ever looked at your fantasy lineup and looked at your opponent's fantasy lineup and thought it would be fun to just challenge one of your players versus one of his players?
I do it every day, Mark. Every day.
I think you and I are actually, I can't remember when I was looking at our schedule in the Dynasty League we play in. I think we're playing sooner or later. I have a feeling that... a sooner rather than later, I should say. We will definitely play sooner or later. I know I've been struggling in that league, so I know that I'm going to be wishing that I could pick one of my guys to go against one of your guys. And the good thing is now I can with the No Halftime app. As soon as I mail you an Apple product, we're in good shape, I think.
Absolutely.
I've been having some fun with the No Halftime app. So it's super easy. You just go online, you pick a matchup that you like. So we could pit. Who's your best player in that Dynasty League? Like who's your main man?
Kawhi Leonard.
So it's kind of a cool league. It's based on real life NBA salaries. So my best guy, I don't know if he's my best player, but the best player in that league is Rudy Gobert, because he's such a small salary. You've got Kawhi Leonard. So like I could pit my Rudy Gobert against your Kawhi Leonard. And even though I'm getting hammered during that week, I could still win some money from you. You could pit LeBron James versus Carmelo Anthony. I could start sending you Knicks bets because you're so down on the Knicks. I could start sending you like Kristaps Porzingis versus whoever the Knicks are playing, or not who the Knicks are playing, but somebody else that night, and I could start using your Knicks pessimism against you. A lot of different options to go here. And of course, there are challenges for NFL, NBA, MLB, hockey, and many other sports. All you have to do is go to iTunes or the App Store, download the No Halftime app, and just for listening to this podcast, you get a bonus $25 for signing up. Use the promo code BBALL, that's BBALL, at sign up, and you're looking for No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. So JJ, now let's get into it. Let's talk about some guys that we can maybe pick up and stream. Again, on the week 5 rankings on the Daily Fantasy Podcast, dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com, you can find all of my weekly ranks. I've got them up on the screen from 1 to 400. Steph Curry, amazingly, is number one, even though he only has 3 games next week, which is pretty impressive. But I've also made these little tabs here so you can see all the guys playing with just 2 games next week. And then I've got a pickup and stream option. So the number one guy, I think for the second week in a row to pick up and stream because he's only owned in 48% of ESPN leagues is Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder keeps doing his thing. T.J. McConnell has been up there pretty high for a long time. He's ranked number 50th in the week five rankings. He's only owned in 39% of ESPN leagues. Is there anybody else you're looking at on this list that you would recommend to folks to go pick up?
It pains me. I'm pained when I say
excited
this.
I'm excited to see where this is going.
Evan Turner.
Okay.
He played down the stretch today over Amir Johnson. He's going to get – I was looking at his stats. When Marcus Smart doesn't play, he's about 26 minutes a night, 11 points, 6-6, somewhere around there. He's like
– games, that will – you know, if you get 40 points, 25 rebounds, 25 assists, that's worth something.
Yeah, and I'm considering it myself, but I haven't made the move yet. But that's like he's – because the other guys you mentioned aren't available in my leagues.
Yeah. Those are pretty – I mean, I'm just grabbing everybody owned in less than half of the leagues in ESPN leagues, but those guys are right near the border. They're almost shouldn't be on this list anymore.
Yeah, and I'll say about Crowder. He's 3.3 steals at home, 1.6 on the road. They played two home games, two road games this week.
So it should balance. So.
Yeah, you should get a good helping of steals with him. And is McConnell going to shoot a free throw this week? I think that's what we're worried about.
Really become like I get almost as many Twitter questions about that as anything else at this point. That's become like our little podcast phenomenon.
Oh man, I feel like it's too mainstream now at this point.
Yeah, I did see a mainstream news outlet reporting on it, and it made me a little bit disappointed. That was supposed to be our little thing, but
yeah, I'm just looking at the percentages. Crowder's 71 in Yahoo, McConnell's 35 Yahoo, and the two guys, Darren Collison and Covington, are both over 60. And those are the guys that I would be picking up. McConnell, he's limited. Well, he has ephemeral fantasy value. Just depends on who returns. And I think Isaiah Cannon was playing some point guard in the last game because Brett Brown. I don't know, he's trying to figure out, what kind of lineup he can use to help him win a game. So there's
no, was it this week or last week you wrote about Jeremy Lamb?
Last
I'm getting my dates mixed up, but
last Friday I wrote about him.
He's number 78 on our list. Do you have anything from that story that you would quickly use to say, yeah, you should trust him or no, you shouldn't trust him?
I think you ride him while he's shooting well, and it's not like he's shooting an unsustainable percentage from 3-point line. It's that he's getting his shots inside of 8 feet of the rim, and a lot of that has to do with Spencer Hawes spreading the floor in the second unit, and he's found a way to his touch. I don't know. He's shooting like 75 or 76% inside of 8 feet, and he's shooting 64% on 2-point shots. So as long as he's getting to the basket and he's finishing, you can use him. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to worry about the rest of the stats. And I feel like he's getting a lot of minutes now because PJ Harrison's out. So you have to keep that in mind. But yeah, I just think what's not sustainable is what he's shooting, but he's shooting it like he's shooting so close to the basket and finishing. And a lot of those are just, fast break dunks, kind of some floaters and some layups that, you hope he can continue it. And I'm sorry if I was rambling there, but I was trying to recall what I wrote, and that's kind of what stuck with Lamb.
Yeah, he's shooting like an unreasonably high field goal percentage right now, isn't he? Wasn't that kind of the gist of your article?
Exactly. Yeah, I think he's close. I think he's over 50%. Like after the last game, I don't know if it's still there, but it's only because he's getting his shots within 8 feet of the basket. So, even if you look at league average is like 60 in the restricted area. He's like 70 or 80%. So he's finishing a lot, and he does a good job of not getting his shot blocked. He kind of contorts and makes sure that he, because he has extremely long arms, So he's just making sure he's not getting blocked. And he also, he's hitting a ton of his mid-range jumpers, which are mostly wide open. So that's going to decline eventually. But as long as he's on a hot streak, you kind of have to, if you own him, then you stick with him. Right. I don't remember how many games they have this week. Four home games.
Yeah,
that's correct.
All right. Now there are four players that ranked outside of my top 156. So that's the number of spots in a standard 12 team league. There are four guys outside of those standard spots that are owned in more than 50% of ESPN leagues. So you definitely would want to bench these guys this week. What I want to know from you, JJ, do we just bench these guys or do we go ahead and drop them? All these guys only have three games. So that's part of the reason they're low. I suspect there are other reasons. First guy is Joe Johnson. Are you benching him or are you dropping him?
I think I'm going to, this feels like that dating show from the 90s, yeah. Singled Out.
With Chris Hardwick.
That's correct. Yes. Because what was it, the Boy Meets World episode that gets stuck that I watch every once in a while? He's got a couple of streaks going. So I was it 896 straight starts in games that he's appeared in, but he hasn't played 896 mm-hmm. straight games, and he's made a field goal on 898 straight games. That's the longest active streak right now. But you know why you want to keep him, I think, is the assists, and he's doing a good job of, I think, you know, finding, because Jared Jack is making threes this year, and you know, he can just, I think, was it Thad Young is scoring like 13 points in the paint. You kind of just drop it off to him. Brook Lopez is kind of the same, so I think I'm going to hold on to Joe Johnson because he's being more of a facilitator this year, even though his shot is completely completely off.
Julius Randle, he's ranked 172. He's owned in 75% of ESPN leagues. Are you benching him or are you dropping him?
He's not someone I would go out of my way to own. So okay. If you're asking me, I would have
owned him to begin with.
Right. But I think if you don't care about percentages, then he's someone to hold on to. I think he's above the threshold in most of the counting stats or near what you would want from an average player. And he's getting like 30 minutes a night. So I think you can, not comfortably, but I think you can hold on to him for now.
What about his counter backcourt mate, D'Angelo Russell? He's ranked 180. He's owned in 60% of ESPN leagues, I guess 58. Would you bench him or drop him?
He's another guy I wouldn't go out of my way. Because I think he was dropped in my 12, I guess because it was a 12-team roto league. Actually, the other night, someone in my 12-team roto league dropped Kobe Bryant for Jeremy Grant. That was kind of a – you're dropping inefficiency for inefficiency and blocks. So that was kind of interesting. Because Byron Scott works outside the laws of common sense, I don't want to actively hold Russell and count on him.
Okay.
At the start of the season, that's where I'm going to land. Well, what about you with these guys? Are you just going to leave? You're okay, kind of hold on to them, or is it based on how a fantasy team's constructed?
Well, I think that's always the answer, but I probably say in a vacuum, I'd hold on to Joe Johnson, and I would be fine dropping Randle and Russell. And our last guy, Chandler Parsons, ranked 221. He's owned in 80% of ESPN leagues. He's obviously on a minutes restriction. He's had some good games. Are you writing it out at this point? I guess if you've ridden out this long, you're probably sticking with him, but you're probably not locking him into a weekly lineup at this point either. What are you? Do you have any differing thoughts on him?
No. I try to keep it short and sweet, but that's not going to happen. The Mavericks play a back-to-back this week, so he's going to play two games at most. But he played a season-high 24 minutes in Sunday's game, which was tonight. I went, looked at his per-possession numbers. They're all, you know, in line with what you would expect mm-hmm. from him, except for the drop in assists. And I think and also his shooting is way off. But I think what you might be seeing is Chandler Parsons, and the same with Drew Holiday. These guys know that, you know, they only have 20 to 25 minutes a night, and then they start pressing, and then they start, you know, running it in their head. You know, I only have 10 minutes left. I only have 8 minutes left. And then, you know, they start to, I don't say unravel, but they just get inside their own head because they know that they're capped. And I think with Parsons, he's just going out there and looking to, he's looking to shoot when he gets out there because he knows he's limited in how many minutes he's going to play. But I think you can, if you've owned him this long, then you just continue to own him. And then as he starts to get more minutes, then I think he'll feel more comfortable and then he can start playing his game.
I think that's some good advice there. If you have him, I didn't draft him anywhere because I feel like he went to the auto draft team in every league, but if you've got him at this point, I think you hold on to him, and I think better days are definitely ahead. That's all I've got for this week. I'm hopeful that that's helpful to everybody who is trying to get their lineup ready for Thanksgiving week. Is there anything else that you want to add on at the end of the show here, JJ?
We covered most of what I wanted to talk about. So, thank you, Mark, for allowing me to come on your show and talk about basketball.
Yeah, it's always the best part of your day when you get to talk about basketball, right? I'm thankful to you for coming on the show. You're going to be, when we all get up on Thanksgiving dinner and tell people what we're thankful for, I'm going to tell them that I'm thankful that you came on my podcast for the Monday show.
So. Please don't. Please don't.
And I'm going to tell them that I'm thankful for all the listeners for sticking with us and listening to us. Thanks, for listening to us. Thanks to our sponsors for No Halftime and BetDSI for sponsoring the podcast and keeping us going. And if you guys who are listening want to help us help keep the show going, keep the website going, just remember, go on. If you haven't done this already, go on to the iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen. Give us a rating, give us a review, hit subscribe if you haven't. If you've done all those things, thank you very much. Anytime you get access to your friends or family members' devices, particularly over the Thanksgiving weekend, grab that, go on their device, rate and review the podcast, hit subscribe, and you'll know you're doing all you can to keep the show going. So with that, I'm Mark Roberts. This is JJ Calley, who you can find on Twitter at JJ Calley Jr. Hit him up with any of your questions that you have, and we'll look to see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday show, I'll be joined by Daniel Green. We'll be talking a little DFS and also just some news and notes. And Wednesday, we'll have a special guest talking about rookie rest of season rankings. And that will be it for this week's show as we take a short break for Thanksgiving weekend. So again, just the three shows this week. Today's show with JJ and Daniel Green, and then a special surprise guest on Wednesday's show. With that, I think I'm out of things to say. So we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thanks, everyone. Bye.